Greetings, everybody. Hope you can hear me okay. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's great to be with you. It's Thursday, May 19th, 2022. Madeline and I are here in Northern California at our home. Great to be back in the garden, working away and so forth. We're going to go ahead and get started here any minute. We're delighted to have this call. This is the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training call, the World Peace Diet Circle call, and we're in May 2022. So it's been kind of a whirlwind the last few days, lots happening, and I'm sure that's probably true for everybody. Things seem to be speeding up in a certain way for everybody in all kinds of ways. So thank you for joining us. And looks like people are just getting in here. It's just about exactly 5 o'clock on Thursday evening here. So Madeline may be joining us a little later. She's in the garden finishing up a few things. We don't have any special guests. Last month we had Chantal Calais with us, which was very interesting. And I just heard from one of our members. I got an email from Margie that she spent some time at the vegan center there we talked about last week in North Florida, which is great. And anything we can do to help heal our world, connect with the earth, grow our own food, and spread the vegan message, and connect with our inner wisdom and let it shine out. I think it's we all have our unique way to contribute to that. So thanks everyone for participating. So I'll go ahead and get started. For now, I think enough people are here. It's great to see you all. And oh, it's good to see Davi's all the way from the UK in the middle of the night. That's real devotion and dedication. We really appreciate you joining us so late at night, Davi. It's great. And I'm sitting here in the piano, and so we like to start off with a short meditation. The piece I was playing just before we started, some of you may have heard it. That was the Call album, which we recorded many moons ago when Madeline first came over from Switzerland, and I was living in a Volkswagen bus, and we found a little house on a ridge in Northern California overlooking an uninhabited Redwood Valley, and started composing songs and recording them and made this album, The Call, and Madeline did the art. I did the music, of course, and that was a piece that just seemed to come from a very deep place called Earth Rise. Earth is rising up. We're part of that rise. Let's become aware of our breathing. With every exhalation, we deepen our connection with this beautiful earth. Letting go of any thoughts of the past or the future, entering this present moment. Abiding in gratitude, abiding in the awareness that there is one life living through all of us. Abiding in unity. Abiding in peace. Abiding in the truth of being. That what we are is beyond birth and beyond death. Allowing the sun that shines at the very heart of the cosmos. Shining in every cell of our being, in our own heart, bringing the light of wisdom and truth into every activity of our mind, of our body, of our speech. Give thanks now for this precious opportunity that we have of this lifetime, for all of the opportunities and all of the challenges to learn and to grow in the truth that we are. Allowing our breath to relax and to slow down. Taking the perspective of the highest point in our consciousness, where we witness the arisings in our life and the arisings in the world around us. We see the ephemerality of all the desires and fears and ambitions. And we see the beauty of all the yearnings to awaken, to bless others, and to help in the healing that is so needed at this time. The awakening for which we yearn. We give thanks for this earth rising into the sphere of truth. We give thanks for the beautiful, flowing beings that we refer to as animals. In communion with them, with their magnificent celebration, with their innocence, may they be free. Human interference and ignorance, and may we humans awaken to our ever-shining light. That we can abide in harmony with each other and with this creation, as we are designed to. That we awaken out of the cultural prisons and transform them into playgrounds and parks, healing centers and beautiful orchards, gardens, paradises that reflect the glory and beauty that is always shining everywhere in nature when we look deeply. So we just join together now, giving thanks for each other, for this community, and for the extended community. Everyone on this earth who is working for peace and freedom, for justice and equality, knowing that all of our efforts gather momentum in the invisible realms and contribute to the awakening humanity. Breathing and radiating loving kindness in all directions. May all beings be happy and have the causes of happiness, abiding in our true home of love. And radiating compassion in all directions, with every exhalation radiating from our heart, ever-expanding sphere of light, of compassion. May all beings be free from suffering, and from all of the causes of suffering. We give thanks knowing that compassion encircles the earth for all beings, everywhere, now and always, abiding in our true home of compassion. And with every exhalation now we radiate joy. The joy of our true nature into our world, filling the whole world with the truth of infinite joy, the joy of being. arriving in our true home of joy. And now with every exhalation, we radiate peace in every direction. May all beings abide in the original peace and harmony of our true nature. May we awaken to our original face. So we see the earth now shining in space, a radiant ball of light, of creativity and beauty and harmony. We give thanks knowing that peace ever present, is omnipresent. And always in our heart. And so as we begin now to complete our meditation together, we give thanks for the love, compassion, joy, and peace. We give thanks for the gratitude, creativity, and awareness that are the inner resources and qualities of our true nature, that are ever present, contributing to our ability to connect with our intuitive wisdom, to contribute our unique gifts during this lifetime for the benefit of all beings. May all beings be happy. May all beings be at peace. May all beings be free. Continue to awaken and be part of the awakening of humanity. And may the animals be liberated. Knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you. All right. Thank you for joining in the meditation, everyone. And so we have the opportunity to have kind of an open-ended discussion here. And Madeline is with us. Something in my hair here. And so I'd love to just mention here at the beginning that if you have any concerns or questions you'd like to have me address or have the group just be aware of, feel free at any time to press *6, and that will unmute your phone or your computer or whatever it is, and raise your hand and you can talk. So yeah, you can always unmute. I think you can also go to somewhere down there at the bottom and raise your hand, somewhere. There's a way to do that. But either way, or just unmute. I think that's, is that right? I'm just looking here. I don't see it. But I think, yeah. So, yeah. So if you have something you want to talk about, we can. There's a lot happening. I mean, it's been like for the last 2 years, you know, we had many years of the World Peace Diet Circle where we just focused really on animal liberation. That was it. That was really it. And we were aware of the so-called various crises in the human world, but then of course when January, February, March of 2020 came along, suddenly we found the game had really changed, and nothing's been the same since. So we have to address those things, I think, and the challenges and the threats really to our freedom as not only as human beings but as vegan activists. And prepare ourselves for the challenges that we're all facing. It's really tragic to see the suffering that's being inflicted on human beings, and the disease and harm and mental stress and strain and so forth that's happening because of people not realizing what's happening, you know, people really being way too gullible and believing official narratives. And hopefully as vegans, we learned a long time ago, don't believe any of those official narratives. Like, don't believe it. It's like, you know, it's not true. How can you believe the pharmaceutical industry or the banks or the chemical industry or the doctors? I mean, really, even doctors, people say, well, but the doctors, they're good people. They're good, perhaps, but they're trapped, as I say, in a golden cage. So now, especially in California, they even have a law right now they're trying to pass that would actually completely eliminate the possibility of doctors even trusting their own training or their own yearning to heal people and require them to follow protocols and not question anything. And we have the World Health Organization, of course, in a mad bid for complete world domination over medical freedom, which can be translated, as you all know, right into complete tyranny over every aspect of our lives. So we're in a potential. It just keeps tightening, you know, keeps going around, and. So how do we respond to that? And of course, as vegan activists, the most important thing is to remember our vow to help liberate animals and to be a force for healing and liberation of all beings, human beings and animals. Animals have been under this tyranny for 10,000 years. So it's been 10,000 years. They've been horribly abused, cows, pigs, and chickens, especially, and other animals. So we certainly don't want to have 10,000 years of the same thing happening to humans. So it's really important, I think, to make these connections. I just wrote an article, published it yesterday, called Circles of Slavery and Liberation, about the way that what we sow, we reap. And I know you're all aware of these connections, but it's important, I think, more than ever, that we share these ideas with everyone, because if we're going to continue our unconscious abuse of animals. We're sowing the seeds for the same thing to happen to us in our unconsciousness. So that's the thing. So, Madeline, are you right there? Are you on a, is this a good time or should I take a question? You want to come over here? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So, so we're going to have, Madeline's going to join us here for a few minutes and tell us a few things that may be interesting. And, we've been spending quite a bit of time. I think one of the, factors of liberation is reconnecting with the earth and growing our own food. And so Madeline's been really, pioneering the way. And actually we're going to be, next month, the featured presenters at the Vegan Organic, yeah, you can turn that, networks. They have a monthly video Zoom talking about our food forest. So just to be aware, I'll let you know about that. But that's kind of exciting because we're not really known for being farmers, but I guess we're becoming more that way. All right. So yes, go ahead now.
Hello everybody. It's so great to see your faces, and many are not with their faces here, but with their ears. So welcome. And I just came in from the garden real earlier, but I had a little more time, and I really love caring for our food forest. And it's so important to grow food. I think I repeat this every time. So grow food in pots, in gardens, in little places, grow sprouts. We got lots of sprouts to come. And you can do this in jars. Look at the videos. Will is demonstrating how to grow sprouts, and they're so delicious. We have some of the best ones right now, and I think Will, can you put it onto the web, which ones it is, and they're so tasty, so crisp and wonderful. So grow sprouts. It's healthy, and one can nearly live off sprouts, according to Hippocrates Health Institute. We ate so many sprouts, and it's so delicious. Also, I like to mention exercise. Does everybody do exercise every day? Raise their hands. Exercise every day. For me, it's going and exercise striding with the poles. Do power walking. And then I do also yoga every day and ball dancing in the evening. You know this maybe from the videos. You can see this all on videos, like what exercise striding is and what ball dancing and yoga. And I have a few classes, only about three, but it's good for people who maybe don't know anything, who aren't pros. They can go to my little contribution. And yeah, and relationships is really good. Having good relationship, right, Will? Good relationship. I'm very fortunate to have Will. And it's not only the twosome relationships, or in the families, it's also outside relationships and looking at each other, that we're carved out of the same spirit. So we're not strangers to each other, even it seems so, because we all look so differently and we have different characters and different kind of quirks and things. But it's good to see the best in others, and then they see the best in us too. And that is like a balm for our soul. It's really good to see the best. And also to, what shall I say, to get sunshine? Get sunshine every day. Who gets sunshine every day? Yeah, and if you have a place where you can be in Adam and Eve's costume, it's the best, because it should go censored everywhere, the sun. It's really, it's a healthy way of living, to get sunshine every day. And also, if you maybe wake up at night, do some meditation, don't get frenzy and nervous because you can't sleep at night. Because just think of it, spirit wakes you up and likes to talk to you. So listen. And if you have opportunity, take a power nap in the middle of the day. That's really good. Power rests are so good. And there is actually a video. I demonstrate how to take a power rest in the middle of the day. That's a funny thought. Yeah, it's on the back, but you have to watch the video, because otherwise napping is not that healthy, really. It's not very refreshing. So please watch the video. And is there anything else? Oh, you can still have wrist warmers if you're not warm enough. I was, till a couple of weeks ago, I was still knitting wrist warmers, and we're sending a couple of because not everybody has this beautiful weather like we in the south of, or in California or so. So yeah, that's a healthy thing too, to keep our meridians nice and cozy. Is there anything else you would like to talk to me?
Yeah, it's good. We just got an order today for two wrist warmers from a couple in Norway who, she said, finally, her husband read the World Peace Diet and he went vegan, and so they're so happy. And yeah, they want wrist warmers.
Yeah. Good. So I let the mic to Will again. He has a lot to say. He has a lot on his mind and heart. So see you again, and see you for the prayer a little later. Bye.
Great. Thanks, Mel. All right. So... yeah, she's referred to a few different things there that maybe are good to emphasize. I want to just say, yeah, it's more important than ever, I think, that we really take it seriously to stay healthy. And being healthy is not so simple. You know, it's really a very complex undertaking, and it's not simply physical. I think it really starts from the inside. The article I wrote talks about the great mirror wisdom, and how whatever we see in the outer world is basically projected from inside of us and from our consciousness. And so I think health really begins with our attitudes, and having a sense of gratitude and awakening in the morning with a feeling of joy that we have another opportunity to learn and to grow, that we really treasure this life, and try to find ways, I think it's important, especially now, of connecting with the beauty in our lives, and not to be too over preoccupied with the challenges that we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing a lot of challenges. We have to act and we have to function. But the most important thing I think, is that we have the quality of our daily consciousness is open and at peace, because that's really what we have. What we have is the quality of our consciousness. And so there's an effort being made to lower our vibration. I mean, that's what they're trying to do more than anything. I think the underlying drive is to just make people more afraid and distrustful of each other and divided and angry, and all these things lead, if you understand the mind-body connection, it's anger and fear, the two primary ways to just really harm and suppress our immune system and our basic health. So there's no reason to get angry, I don't think, with people, or to be afraid. When we understand that what we are was never born and will never die. We really have to keep a spiritual perspective. I think it's more important than ever, that there's a much bigger thing happening. And we do everything that we need to do while we're here on this earth to be responsible and to try to share the message of veganism, which is ahimsa or nonviolence. And that's our greatest, that's the greatest weapon. There's no weapon more powerful than nonviolence. It's the ultimate weapon. It's really the only way ultimately that we will attain joy and freedom and peace in this life or the next. I mean, so really keep that big picture of more than just this life. And then of course, questioning all the official narratives in our society. And finding what really it is that helps make you be healthy, you know. And I'm always learning. I'm learning new things all the time. And I think growing your own food is important. Like Madeline mentioned sprouting. I'll just mention, you know, there's a company called True Leaf. I just put that in. They have a website and you can buy all kinds of different seeds from them for sprouting and for making microgreens and all kinds of stuff. So we're thinking that it's probably a good idea to have saved up quite a bit of food, you know, now, like get it like right away, and keep it safe. And so we bought several 5-pound sealed cans of sprouts of like alfalfa seeds and clover and fennel and broccoli and so forth. There's quite a few different ones you can do, and that'll last a long time if you grow sprouts. In fact, I just heard from one of our colleagues who's a World Peace Eye facilitator. She watched the video that we made of sprouting, and she says, now I'm on my counter, I've got 5 jars going simultaneously. We're eating so many sprouts. It's really a great thing. You can have a garden. You know, we have, you know, as you all know, a bunch of fruit trees. We just planted 2 more. Yesterday we planted a mandarin and the day before a plum. So we're up to 67 trees now. A Mirabelle plum, yeah. And so, you know, we're just making this food forest here. It's quite a project. And I just built another raised bed. That's a big project. So we have now our 6th raised bed and full of vegetables, planted lots of tomatoes and eggplants and peppers and cucumbers and pumpkins and all this stuff. But beyond that, knowing that we can grow our own sprouts, you know, right inside. And then finding ways to give back to the earth, like composting, I think is so great, you know, and making compost tea and recycling everything. And some of you know, I've mentioned it before, but we redid the plumbing under the house. I went under the house and redid the plumbing. Redid the gray water. We lived in an RV, so you have black water and gray water. So like the black water is the toilet. The gray water is everything else, right? The shower, the washing machine, the sinks, the kitchen, and that's all gray water. So I redid everything. So all the gray water of the entire house goes into a tank. And then I put a pump on the tank. And so about every 4 days, that tank fills up. It's about 100 gallons. And however it is, 5 days, 6 days, it depends. We kind of keep an eye on it. And then Madeline waters the garden with that. And so every drop of water we use goes into the garden. And so we're recycling that. But also, I'll just say it, it's really important. We have what we call the amber, which is our urine, basically. We don't say, we just call it amber. So that always goes in, right? We mix that. We always pour that down the drain. We never put that in the toilet because that is precious. I mean, it is so precious. It's full of nutrients, full of nitrogen especially. And many countries understand that. You know, we read a book called Liquid Gold, and it goes into the whole thing. How in Sweden, like they have the whole apartment complexes, you know, they divide it and they put it on the fields and it makes everything grow lush. And so it really works. It really makes everything grow. But I'll just mention this because I've been hearing it over and over again. I've tried it. This is my 4th time. Finally, I'm trying it again of drinking my own amber, right? Drinking it. And, And I never liked it. I mean, it was always a, I did it in other, you know, I first started doing it, I tried it back in the 1980s when I heard that it was a good idea that people, and I thought, oh, it was so disgusting, I just couldn't do it. And then I did it, I tried it again, and I did it for probably a couple of months at one point, and then I didn't want to do it anymore. And then again, maybe a few years ago, and then I didn't want to do it anymore. It just didn't taste that good. But I have to say, this time, I mean, it is just so delicious. It sounds so funny to say this, but it's really amazingly delicious. That's all I can say. It's amazingly delicious. So I can hardly keep myself from drinking all of it, but I don't want to drink it all because I want to go out into the garden because the garden needs it. You know, it's like not enough urine to go around, you know, but the amber is really incredibly healthy and nutritious. It's healthy to drink it your own because it just recycles the nutrients. And there's a lot of books on it. And I've done some research again lately, and it's kind of got me realizing it's an ancient thing, but you don't have to do it. But anyway, it's just something, it's a good thing for survival. If you get in a situation where you don't have any water, you don't have to go thirsty. And it's like, to me, it's like, you know, have you ever had, I don't know if it's such a thing like, in restaurants, remember years ago, before I was a vegetarian or a vegan, I used to really enjoy, I hate to say it, beef consomme, you know. Consomme, it's like a watery, salty broth. And then a vegan consomme, well, that's what it's like. It's like a consomme. That's what I think of when I drink it. It's like, it's so tasty. It's like a consomme. And so if that resonates with you, you know, I know it's really totally weird and disgusting and everything else, but it's just like anything else. It's sort of like we have all these beliefs about what's healthy, what's not healthy, you know, what's true, what's not true. How do we know? How do we really know what's true, you know? Well, we learn from each other, and we can learn from each other things that are helpful, and we can learn from each other things that are not helpful. You know, I learned from my parents to eat a lot of meat, dairy, and eggs. It wasn't helpful. But then I learned from other people to go vegan, right? And so we learn. We're always learning from each other. So we have to be like, my old Zen teacher said, you have to be like a swan. The swan is the mythical animal. I mean, it's not mythical, but it has a mythical ability to put her beak into milk and drink only the water from the milk. That's an old saying, that the swan is able to extract the water from the milk. So it just leaves behind all the other stuff and just gets the water, the good stuff. So we have to be able to do that. We have to be able to discern when we're being in a barrage, a flood of input, right? And what is it that's precious and helpful and accurate and life-affirming and wisdom, and what is not, is not in our best interest. It's illusion. It's part of the enslavement program. And so that's only something only we can do. And so it's like spirituality has become, in our day and age, a form of, well, I guess you'd say street smarts, right? You need to have street smarts. We need to be really savvy about when we read the news or whatever, or we listen to a video or whatever it is, or we listen to our own thoughts. What is it that's actually true? We need to actually cultivate this capacity to, question what's going on if we're going to be able to thrive and create communities of healing and sanity and so forth. And I think we can. I think it's, you know, we can do it. We are doing it. And we've been saying it for a long time. You know, the system of animal agriculture is based on lies and violence and deceit and a whole demonic delusion. And it's the core of our culture, and it's now ripening. It's like a big abscess or something that's just sort of at that point where it's going to, who knows what's going to happen. And the animals are still getting slaughtered, and the earth's getting wiped out, and huge powers are clashing back and forth, and we have wars, and we have now even, I mean, I remember back when I was at Berkeley, it was a big, in the 1980s, a big anti-nuclear movement, nuclear weapon movement. We wanted disarmament, 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 better active today than radioactive tomorrow. You know, it was a huge thing. And we really went on these gigantic protests against the buildup of nuclear weapons, and we didn't want to have Russia and the United States blowing each other up. And we had our congressman, Ron Bellums, I remember, of Oakland and Berkeley. He said, these leaders are insane. It's like they're standing in a tub of gasoline up to their necks, and they're lighting matches to see who can, who's tougher. And so people were really concerned back then about nuclear war. We're like so much closer now than we were then. And people are like, oh, we don't, so what, no problem. I can't believe how lackadaisical people are about the fact that we're, literally talking about having a nuclear war with Russia, and like pushing them right to that point where, and now the situation, of course, is much worse because Russia has far more effective and powerful nuclear weapons than we do. So we would definitely lose the war now if we had one. And we're still pushing it. I mean, it's like the insanity is over the edge, really. And that's that wouldn't be just terrible for humans. That would be terrible for animals. A nuclear winter would basically wipe out most of all life on Earth for a long time. Of course, as Zach Bush says, it's happened before. There's been great die-offs, and the Earth always comes back. The Earth rises again. But the whole idea here, I think, really is for us to not let our consciousness be pulled down or be distracted, and build something, build an alternative, and co-create an alternative. So that's why it was wonderful last month to talk to Chantal and just think about ways that we, each one of us, can create our community or our own space, a space of love, a space of healing, a space of awareness. And it can be anywhere. No one can say what is the right place to be. We don't know. We don't know, right? Some people it may be to create communities together. For other people it may be to just be kind of alone or be in a larger community where we're just helping the people around us. But the main thing, I think, is to keep deepening our spiritual practice and spreading the light of the vegan message as best we can. So we can go into some more if people have questions or thoughts about some of the nitty gritty here. But that's just some of the things I wanted to mention here. The article I wrote got quite a lot of comments. There were some comments online and quite a few emails, and they were it was interesting and mostly all positive. It's just we're living in such a strange time that there's still people who say, oh, where did you get this information? You should watch a different station. This is all misinformation. People who still are completely lost and believing the mainstream media, unfortunately. And I don't know how that's possible, but they still are. So that's it. That's kind of where we're at right now. Andy, you've had your hand up for a while, so I go ahead and feel free to unmute and.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
Yeah,
hi.
Great. Hi.
Now I probably have so many questions, but because now I have a question about the urine thing that I thought that when we get rid of things, it's because our body is getting rid of toxins. So, like when we poop and everything, I have to say I'm open to anything and everything you say. I'm grateful to hear about that, and it's a very interesting thought that if we run out of water. I was just listening to John Rose today, also the raw vegan, who was saying something about we should be seeing sediment or something coming out of our urine because that means we're getting rid of toxins there or something. But I'm open to hearing everything and probably trying anything. And so that was one thing is, about are we releasing toxins or anything about that. And then you just brought up, how can people still be this gullible? And I'm still dealing with freedom people who claim to want freedom, believe in it, they attend rallies, they spend full time dealing with, we have to get this bill signed and we have to vote these people in and all of that, and they are completely complying with everything. So with from the amount of people that I have met, 99% of the thousands of people that I have met, they're complying. Every time they comply with the mask, they're complying with the test, they, you know, everything. So no wonder why brainwashed people still believe it, because even the people who know what's going on and know all this stuff is horrible, they know it's all wrong, and they're still doing what they're told. So, you know, how can anyone else learn when, you know, everybody, you know, there's very, very few people who are not complying. Like, I know you and Madeline and I don't, but very, very few people who are not complying. So, you know, how do we do that? Like, I have a friend in rehab now, and she says they just woke her up and they just said, okay, well, you have to take a COVID test, and now you're positive, and now you're in quarantine. And I'm like, you know, we need to get you out through the window or something. I mean, it's just craziness. So those two things is, how do you get the freedom people to have courage enough to stop complying? And then the urine thing that you just talked about. You know,
all right.
How we get toxins.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. Those are good. So yeah, you know, I think probably one of the aspects, I'll just talk about the amber, we call it amber. I think, or liquid gold or something. But the thing is, as I understand it, the blood is really purified of toxins by the liver. And the liver sends those toxins into the bowel, and they go out in the stool. The kidneys don't really remove toxins so much. They're filters, but they don't remove toxins. And so the urine is not really toxic. In fact, it's got amazing properties of, you know, antimicrobial and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very clean. It's extremely clean. It's antiseptic. And you know, we have a friend. I mean, he's actually very close to all of us in this group. He doesn't talk about it, but I've known him for years, and I never did it because I thought it was over the top. But he's been drinking his own urine every day for like 35 years now. And he did it because he had cancer. And they couldn't heal it, and he'd be dead now. But he just started drinking his own urine, and that healed him. And so he's totally convinced, you know. But that didn't get me to drink it. But that's always sort of in the background of my mind that, you know, he's still doing it to this day. And we've known him for, gosh, almost 30 years, I think. So it's an interesting thing. You know, I know exactly. I mean, I think the other thing is probably you probably want to be eating like we eat a very clean diet, right? I mean, whatever we eat, it's all organic, vegan, grown in our own garden for the most part. I think maybe that's why it just tastes so good now. It's like really delicious. I mean, I shouldn't go on about that, but it's like, oh man. I mean, I always, every time I have it, I think, God, you know, this, I should market this. I mean, it's so amazingly good. Like consomme. But anyway, I think it's just one of those things. It took me like quite a while before I got to that point, but I'm not necessarily advocating it. I'm just saying there's a huge tradition. I mean, if you start researching it online and read books, there's, you know, it's people have known about this for thousands of years, really. It's nothing new. It's not a new thing. I mean, it's ancient wisdom. And
I forgot. Can I ask one more thing? You mentioned sprouts in a can. I never heard of that. I thought we just own sprouts.
Okay, so what I mean is usually when you buy sprouts, you buy a pound or 2 pounds, and it comes in a plastic bag. So this is 5 pounds in a sealed metal can. So it'll last in storage until you want to open
it. What kind of sprouts? I've never seen that in a can.
No, you won't see it in a store. It's for, you know, it's like we buy, it's bulk. It's bulk, right? We buy, 50 pounds or or 25 pounds of rice or of millet or of, you know, all these different grains, buckwheat and so forth. And it's in these big plastic. We've got about 25 or 30 big 5 gallon containers filled with grains and with, sunflower seeds and sesame seeds and flax seeds and all this stuff. I mean, we have enough to live for several years at least or more.
Oh, are you talking about
this bulk? It's just large. So now we have 5 pound cans of sprouting seeds. So.
Okay. I got it. So you're talking about the seeds, not the sprouts that are already
seeds,
right?
Seeds. And those, one can of those seeds, that is so many seeds. You could make probably, I don't know, 100 or more quarts of sprouts out of all those seeds.
Okay.
Out of one of those cans, right?
It.
So it's a lot
Thank
of food.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a neat thing. You know, you can just sprout anywhere and you've got food. It just takes a few days and you've got fresh greens.
Yeah.
So, but then as far as your other question with the, with people complying, I agree, you know, it's just, Robert F. Kennedy said it perfectly. He said, you'll never comply your way out of tyranny, and you cannot comply. I mean, that's what veganism is. I mean, at its core, it's not complying, right? I mean, I've been practicing non-complying for 42 years. Right? People say, oh, have a burger with me. You know, I could say, oh, okay, you know, I care about animals, but in this case, all right, I'll go along with it. You know, no, I'm not going to have it. You know, don't comply. It's not complying with cultural mandates. That's what veganism at its core. So we have practiced this. We're experts. We're masters at not complying. We don't do it. And food is one of the main things. Oh, come on, eat my this and eat this and join us for this. And we're having a barbecue. We're having a fish fry. Don't you want to be part of the family, be part of the party, So we know all about it. It's like, no, I'm not going to do it. It's against my principles. I'm not going to cause suffering to other beings. I'm not going to steal their sovereignty. So that's the same thing. I'm not going to wear a mask and steal my own sovereignty. You know, I wouldn't call it a mask ever again. I'm calling it a self-suffocation device. I don't wear any self-suffocation devices.
Hecky Halls, yes.
Because, you know, I mean, it's contrary to everything I believe in, you know, it's covering up our beautiful face and our smile and completely unnecessary. It's an indoctrination into a tyrannical slave state. And so, so people have to understand that when they understand that, you know, it's like people say, oh, it's no big deal just to have a fish stick. Oh, it's just no big deal to have a little cheese with the thing. It's no big deal. You know, have a little bit, go along to get along. And, but as vegans, we're able to pierce through the facade, that enslaves people to that kind of thinking where they give up their integrity and give up their values and live their lives as a lie, right? As an instrument of violence and as an instrument of delusion and as an instrument of tyranny. I mean, we become an instrument of tyranny ourselves. So if I'm complying, if I put on a mask, I turn myself into an instrument of tyranny. I mean, I am making a statement of tyranny, essentially. I mean, there's no reason to wear a mask or to take a test. I mean, we have to just, you know, draw the line somewhere, I guess. So, not to say, you know, there may be situations where one has to do it. I'm not, you know, I don't judge anybody else, but we just try to arrange our life in a way that we're not in that situation. So we move away from urban areas. We get out in the country. We don't take flights. You know, we just drove wherever we had to go. We just figured it out somehow, you know, and it's a challenge. I mean, it's really a challenge, and it's not over. I mean, the WHO, they're getting all their things lined up to unleash the next one, and what's going to happen? You know, it'll be interesting to see. And I think, you know, the more we don't comply right now with anything, the more we show that we are not. That they better not try it. You know, they just better not try it if they, you know, and I think they're gauging the whole thing. You know, I was really disappointed that so many people in the United States and worldwide were willing to give up so much freedom. You know, that was like, don't do it. And we were just invited. I mean, just a few days ago, we gave up something that I was kind of looking forward to. You know, we, out of the blue, education, the very kind of, wealthy, high-end educational foundation in Marin County, where they're honoring 50 years of nature education. Somebody started 50 years ago this program of teaching nature education in national parks, and it's been a great program. I think it's great. I'm totally behind it. I mean, it's great. I didn't even know about it, but somebody who was on the board of having this big gala event in Marin outside, out by the ocean, invited me, and I said, all right, can Madeline come too? He said, sure. You know, it was like a $250 thing, and we could come for free. It was like a $500 gift. You can come for free. Just join us. We have a famous speaker, a biologist. He's going to be talking about bears in the wilderness. There's going to be they had a vegan option. You know, it wasn't vegan, but they had a vegan option. They had, you know, all these high-end caterers there. I mean, everything. So we were all set to go. And then like a few days before, they sent out an email just saying, okay, everybody, just to let you know, they will be wearing masks inside because we believe in science. You know, and I was like, I sent him an email. I said, you don't believe in science. You know, I'm not coming. You know, we're not coming. I mean, no, we're not coming. This is not science. This is baloney. You know, I just yelled at him. And I had to give up the $500 thing and going with all these, you know, great, you know, high rolling Marin environmental woke people, I'm sure, that are all wearing masks. You know, come on. I mean, so, you know, it's still going on right now. I mean, I was amazed, really. They wanted everybody to take a self-test, too. They don't, and do a test beforehand. I'm not going to do a test. So you know, it's just, this is how I draw the line. But it's not, I'm not saying it's the right thing for everybody. But that's, I just think personally that it's important for us. Yeah, I agree with you. Not to go along with systems that reduce us and take away our sovereignty, take away our connection, and turn us really into livestock. I think that's what's happening. We're being turned into livestock, and we don't realize it. I can see it. I mean, I think a lot of you probably see it too. But it's sort of this in very insidious, you know, set of programs that just kind of pull us in and get us to go along and to agree. Because in a way, it's like if we give our consent, it's all about consent. And if we refuse to give our consent, then that's it. You know, we just draw the line and refuse to give our consent. And I think the more we do that and just say, no, we don't consent to this, the better. And if we don't do that, if we consent, then we have to pay the price. I mean, our next door neighbor, he's not really that close to us because we have an empty lot, but he's like the next house over. Really nice guy. I think we inspired him to make a garden. He's been, you know, growing a lot of food. He started a garden in the back of his house. But he's home now, sick. And Madeline went by the other day and asked him. He said, "Oh yeah," he said, "I got COVID." And she said, "Really, you got COVID?" He said, "Yeah, I'm so sick. I've been in bed for days." And he said, "I can't believe it." He said, "I have three vaccinations and I still got COVID." That's our next door neighbor. You know, I mean, people think that they're getting COVID, right? I mean, you know, it's just the toxic injections, really. But anyway, so this is the whole, you know, it's really hurting. People are getting harmed by this in a lot of ways, and I'm not sure where it's all leading. But we have to, like you say, we have to learn the importance of not complying. That's the main vegan message, is don't comply. I think that's really important. Anyone else?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Any other thoughts or questions or anything anyone has about? There's lots of different ways, you know, things we can talk about here, but I'd like to really give you all the opportunity to air your joys or your sorrows or.
Will, you can't see my hand, but can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I hear you. Yes. Lily.
Yes. Hi, Will.
Hi. Good to hear you.
Hi, Madeline.
Yeah.
So good to hear your sunny voice. I just love it. I
I have just adopted a puppy, and
wonderful.
And I've been here. I lost my beloved Nate of 15 years in February, and I'll let you know about that later. But I was reading a book about the evolution of dogs, and everybody tries to get a dog not to eat poop, but they actually evolved to eat it because they have the digestive system that gets the extra nutrients out of it. So they stayed around the caveman, and everybody who has a dog knows, oh no, you know, we don't want them to eat poop, but they're actually evolved to eat it. And I thought that was very interesting. I did not know that. I don't know whether you did, but.
That's interesting. I didn't really know that either. I see them.
Yeah, I didn't know it until it was a book all about dogs because I have grown to really love dogs. Not all dogs, but definitely my dogs. Not all dogs are so lovable, but this little doll, her name is Dolly, and she's wonderful. She cheers my heart, and that's why I got her. I got her as a therapy dog for me because, you know, I'm pretty brokenhearted about everything in my life right now, and even though I live in a beautiful place. But I just wanted to share that with you because of what you said about drinking the liquid amber. Mahatma Gandhi did that. Most of his life he did that. And,
is that right?
Uh-huh. A lot of people, a lot of, you know, really great people do that. I don't think you could get me to do it. It's just, I don't know.
I'm not that pure yet, but
I'll tell you, the fact that a dog eats poop, they have the digestive system to get the elements out of there, and they kept the area where the cave dwellers lived, and, you know, they were like wolves, they were like wild dogs, clean, you know, and that's why they evolved as being our partners, and
wow.
So I found that very interesting, and it fit right thanks, with what you were saying.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, because I was thinking of you earlier today. I just posted an essay, and a woman wrote to me, and she said, you know, all that sounds good, but what do I do about my cat? My cat, I have to feed my cat some meat. I feel so bad about it. I buy meat in the store, and I just try to minimize it, but, you know, it's a cat. She, you know, has to eat meat. And so I said, well, I have a friend who's, got cats that are vegan.
It's the 15th year of being vegan now.
Thing, you know,
and I have to say my cats lived, my cats did die. They died at 16, which is a pretty ripe old age for a cat. And they were all vegan for 14 out of those 16 years. 100% vegan. And my doggie is, she's just bursting with energy, but there's only one problem. I cannot eat an apple by myself. If I cut open an apple because she's very vegan, she doesn't get anything that isn't vegan. And if she's a puppy, you know, if I open up an apple, you would think that I was holding a piece of, you know, meat there. She'll jump up, she'll jump in the air and then land on all four feet and sit right in front of me like, well, are you going to share it with me or what's going on here?
Wow.
It's marvelous.
Yeah.
I can't have my morning apple. I have several apples. I eat several apples for breakfast in the morning, two or three. And I have to eat two or three. Now I used to eat two, but now I have to share it with her. So
right.
She won't let me. And my other doggies didn't like apples. So it's interesting. They have a different, you know, but she likes everything that's vegan. She likes spinach. She likes all the vegetables. And then I also have Eric Weisman's formula that I feed her, Evolution Diet. She's a very healthy, beautiful dog. She's
right.
Only 11 weeks old. I'm going to pass with that. I don't want to take up any more time with this.
Well,
but it's very important.
It's very important
for people with pets to know.
I know.
Your pets do not have to live. You don't have to go against your own feelings about that. I would not have an animal as a pet. I would not have it as a family member if I had to feed them that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not good for them anyway. I just wouldn't do it. So I've gotten around it. My doggies live to be 16 also, 15. My doggies
right.
live to be 15, which is pretty old for a dog, you know?
Right.
But I wanted him to live forever because he was a great love, and the other one was too. You met both of them when you came here, Will. Anyway, I'm gonna hang up, and I mean not hang up, but just
yeah.
Leave it
all
to
right.
you.
Now. Thank you. Thanks, Lily. That's a good to remember. Chantal, you have your hand up. Good to see you.
Hi everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. So my connection often is not very good. I actually wanted just to say two things and very briefly, just touching on what you said before, you know, non-compliance. And I do think, you know, in our quest of becoming like, our own, masters in that sense and learning how to trust our own instincts. Like what you said before, you know, finding out about, you know, what is good for ourselves. We were so taught, you know, that it always has to be, you know, we need proof for it and we need to read about it and some sort of important doctor has to tell us about it so that it can be good for us. I think even just for that, it's a good exercise to try different things and see how you react to it and just to overcome this urge to always, have to need a certain thing that we do to be approved by some sort of authority. So I think in our quest, that's going to be important. And another thing also I find a lot when I look at my life and what's happening around, we're always confronted with sort of selling our soul to the devil again, you know, like, and then as you said before, yeah, you know, it's just a fish stick or a piece of cheese and that's how it goes. But then it is for more important things in our life. And I think again, we have to trust that even if we lose a job or if we, lose something bigger than maybe a dinner or something, it is this, direction that we have to go. This is the way and we have to trust that this is the right thing to do. Because only if our gestures become meaningful, it's not little things, you know, but it's big things and we trust it and we do it. And I think then new things can open up. I just wanted to say that. Oh, and we have two vegan dogs and we actually feed them, you know, when you said you have the grains in the big bag, we have that too, and we put like everything, we mix it together and put it in an Instapot, like in the evening, and then in the morning that is their food and they love it. And my boy, he is like full of muscle and no meat needed.
what's the main ingredients in your dog food that you make? Is it lentils or?
Yeah, it's lentils, it's black beans, it's brown rice, it's oats, and
uh-huh.
throw in some peanuts or whatever. And they're so used actually to that. They go foraging with us. So when we go to get the blackberries, they come and they eat the blackberries. Now there is a lot of mulberries on the floor, so they go and eat the mulberries. And actually, the male dog, you know, there are dogs from here. We adopted them here. There's cow dogs from here, and he hunts. So, like, he hunted something. He hunted, actually, a rabbit, and we couldn't save it. We try him not to do it, but it's so much in his instinct. But he doesn't eat any meat, so we gave the rabbit to the cat. Nature, but it puts us in some situations.
Right. Well, that's good. You know, I think it's great you can feed them all that vegan food and be an influence, perhaps, you know, and just talk to them and tell them how great it is to live a nonviolent life. And it may rub off, you know.
I have to butt in here because, you know, as you know, I hand feed my husband, and one thing about Dolly is that she loves my cooking. So she'll stand there and wait. And then when I'm feeding my husband, she waits and she wants me to feed her. She eats exactly what we eat. Plus, she also eats Eric Weissman's formula. So no wonder she eats everything. I always cooked extra for her, and she loves
right.
potatoes too. So, yeah. I mean, they will eat anything you give them if you give it to them, and don't worry about them being finicky. They're not. They're not.
Right. Right. Thanks. Yeah, well, thanks, Chantal. That's so interesting, and I'm glad that you're doing that. And thanks for sharing your idea about the importance of our authenticity. I think that's a really key thing. And the idea that, this is something else that, we're talking about Gandhi. I think, I'm not sure if it was him, but I know he did talk about this idea that there's no such thing as a small thing. I mean, even small things actually are big in a certain sense. Big things come out of many small things. And, so we don't know really what's big or what's small. So that's one of the reasons I think it's very important to cultivate mindfulness. In other words, living in a mindful way so that we're aware of our gestures, our attitudes, the tone of our voice, our actions, what we're saying, our words, because all of that, all those little things create who we are, what we are, create our being, our statement in the world, however you want to look at it. It comes out of all these little things. And so it's, I think one of the great things I've learned over the years is to try to make every little thing, be as conscious and as filled with awareness and I would say maybe beauty or, give it my attention and my love. You know, there's a certain sense, I'm one of the great spiritual teachers I knew once said, you never have to worry about being loved because as long as you're loving, you'll feel loved. And you can be loving not just to people, but you can hang up the dish towel with love when you're done washing the dishes. Be loving with the dish towel and you'll never have to worry again about ever being loved because you'll be loved in that moment. You know, in the moment that I do something with love and kindness and caring and attention, it comes back and everything we put out comes back. And so, you know, we're taught in our society that happiness comes from the world, like getting something from the world. I have to get something from the world. I have to get money or attention or relationships or praise or something. And we realize that nothing from the world can ever bring happiness. It doesn't. It can't. It's not. It's like eating something that has empty calories. We're just still hungry. So it all comes from inside of us, but it comes from giving, right? So if whatever we give is what we get. So if we're giving love in what we're doing and attention and awareness, then that's what builds and grows. And so thank you, Chantal. That's a really good point. We have another hand up. I'm not sure if the phone. Go ahead and unmute. I'm not sure which number it is, but yeah. Can unmute if you'd like. Is it this one here? I think it says iPhone. So are you there or not? Okay. If not, that's good too. Anyone else? Anne has your hand up. Yeah, Anne, do you wanna we have just a few more minutes here, but feel free to unmute yourself if you would like to share something.
Yeah, I just want to say that about just about a week ago, I attended virtually a summit given by John Bush called the Exit and Build Summit.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a whole mixed bag of things. It's essentially people who come together to learn about how to exit the system, find and buy land, build homes, build tiny homes. There's quite a group of homesteading people that unfortunately, you know, part of their vision is, you know, you raise animals to kill. So they're not vegan, though some are, some maybe. So it's not a vegan organization by any means. But it's, I found it quite informative, and also for my daughter, who's, she's 25 and she's, very successful at her job working in Tampa right now, but she's quite aware of things at the same time.
Right.
But also just to like educate or just inform yourself about possibilities for, a part of the emphasis is taking back our tech. So distancing yourself from the phone that, you know, tracks every move, getting into a way of de-Googling your phone and using the internet in a way that, you know, where you're not so much under the thumb of big tech.
Right.
And so I just thought I'd mention it. It's not vegan, though it's very vegan open. It's a good resource, I think, for people looking for ways to survive and get along so much, not so much under the control of the globalists.
Right. Right. And John Bush, even though he's definitely not a vegan, but his main partner in all these things is Derek Broz. And Derek Broz is a vegan, and
yes.
He's also one of the advocates of Exit and Build, and he has left the United States and moved down to Mexico, and he's setting up communities down there. He's not really, he learned that he can't do it himself. He and his partner is a woman, but they're having another caravan in a couple of weeks. It starts in, I think, in Houston, and people just who are interested in going down to Mexico and buying a piece of land and setting up a new life down there. There's quite a few people doing it, going down to the area where he is. I looked into it a little bit. It's a nice area of Mexico, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to freedomcells.org.
Yeah.
And register on that, and then find out whether maybe other people in your area who are interested. And John Bush, I mean, Derek and John are pretty much in sync. But John Bush is going to be having what he calls a speed dating event online. So people can register and get online and find other people who are interested in exiting and just forming groups. And so you can find, possibly put out, you know, vegan, you know, find vegans who are interested in relocating or building in a certain area.
Right. Yeah, that's, it's good to see that, you know, and as we talked about last month, Chantal is actually doing that in northern Florida.
Absolutely.
On 60 acres of land, and people can feel free to check that out, and, We're kind of doing it here. We feel like we've put in so much effort. We don't want to move. we're kind of here. But who knows? We'll see. But anyway, and we're kind of happy because we have some really good friends. Don Weaver. I don't know if you know Don Weaver. He's kind of well known. He's about a 40-year vegan also, living in Berkeley with his partner Esther, and they just moved. They're moving tomorrow here to Hidden Valley. They're going to be our neighbors. And so, we're so happy because he's really, besides being a long time vegan, he's a professional gardener. That's how he makes his living is gardening and growing fruit trees and all that kind of stuff. So he's a landscape, professional landscaper and gardener, tree trimmer and all that kind of stuff. So, so we're kind of thinking, you know, maybe more people will come here too or something. But you have to have, you know, buy your own house and, you know, make your own garden and, you know, that kind of thing. But I think it's great. You know, we can just feel into, use our intuition, our inner wisdom, and just feel where is the right place for us to be. Should we stay where we are or move? That's another option. But the thing to always remember is wherever we go, we bring ourselves. And I have a feeling that it's important to if I am going to be moving, not to be doing it to escape or out of fear to get out of somewhere. I think it has to be an inner sense of going in a positive way to co-create something somewhere. But But I think if we try to run away, I don't know, and this is really a global situation. So I'm not sure if there's really, to me, it seems very difficult to predict where would be a good place. But, you know, that's just me. You may know where would be the best place. Because we, you know, we have, Swiss passports, so we could live anywhere in Europe or anywhere, but I just think over there it looks, doesn't look, I don't know. So who knows? I mean, the idea is, I think, to find our right place. And I remember many, many years ago, my old Zen teacher, brought to mind, there's a passage, I guess, in the Book of Revelation, where it talks about standing on the sea of glass. And he said that that means that you are always in the right place. When you're standing on the sea of glass, wherever you are is always the right place. And you don't have to ever use your analytical mind to figure out where you should be. He said he was just trying to portray something, and I remember it was like, if you do the inner work and you're connected with the source of what you are, that inner guidance system will automatically be working, and you'll know where to be at the right time. And so that's kind of always been in the back of my mind, the idea that the most important thing is to focus on clarifying consciousness. And when that happens, then we find that we're fulfilling our destiny in harmony with our true nature. And so instead of sort of on the outer world running around, we may need to do some research. You know, I do research too, but I think the main thing is to continue to deepen our connection with the inner silence. Out of which everything is born. And if I'm at that point of inner silence, then something fresh can come forth and I can hear it. I can, and my mind isn't completely busy and full. So that's why I think real health means taking time every day to just connect with the inner silence. And we spend 2.5 hours in the morning after we get up just doing inner practices, meditating and doing yoga and inner contemplation and pranayama, breath work, and so forth, and then do some exercise and other things. But I think having a couple of hours or whatever is good for you to just establish your consciousness in the foundation of the source, and then let the day flow out of that. That really is critically important. It's something that the powers that be, who want to, you know, control us, they don't like it when we do that, right? They like us to always be frantic and afraid and to not have time to really deepen, our confidence in ourselves and in our true nature. When that's there, we can't get pushed around. You know, we're just being a being, and we're not trying to get approval, or we're not trying to be safe. You know, I mean, this whole idea of being safe, I've already talked about that on this call, I think. To me, it's so toxic. I mean, like, we didn't come onto this planet to be safe. You don't build a ship to have it sit and rot in the harbor. You know, we're here to adventure and to learn and to grow and to contribute and take risks, right? I mean, that's the whole point. There's no growth without taking risks. So take risks, try new things, and speak up. You know, be a voice. Find, you know, each one of us, as we find our voice, we encourage others to find their voice. You know, that's really how it works. And just don't comply with with the tyranny. I think that's really important. You know, find our inner locus of approval. If we want approval. That point of approval, I think, is think of yourself like after you've just left your body, you've just died, you're looking back over your life. You know, that's what's going to matter. That's the kind of approval. You know, did I live my life in the way that I wanted to before I was born, right? I mean, we have a mission here. Are we fulfilling our mission in this lifetime? No one can tell that for somebody else. Only we know that. And it has nothing to do with being safe. It has everything to do with being a seed that blossoms and grows and flowers. And that's the great adventure we get every day. And we don't know how much longer it's going to last. You know, we're really in times of tremendous change. So I think almost every, you know, it's like thinking of the future is so almost so bizarre. Like, what will it be like in the year 2024? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, what will it be like? And we don't really, I mean, used to be, you know, you could think ahead a couple of years. Yeah, be pretty much the same. Not anymore. So this is really a time. It's like every day is we're on this more and more on this narrow edge of are we really conscious and mindful? Are we living our own dharma, our own truth, our own purpose? And if we are, then it's a good day to live, a good day to die. Also, right? We're ready to go because we're living our life. So I think, I'm just realizing we just went over time. Well, thank you, everyone. I just love being able to talk about some of these things, and we do the calls are always recorded. So if you want to listen to anything later, or if you know someone who's in our circle who couldn't make it, you know, it's always archived. That's something that's not clear, I think, sometimes. You know, we do have the resources. I was going to go through that. I mean, I spend a lot of time every month doing pages and pages of all these different links. And if you look at the resources for May, there's a huge amount of stuff that we did. I mean, there's a lot of videos, audios. We have another musical inspiration that Madeline and I did, two of them actually, piano and flute, and then all the different vegan news, and then all the other news of some of it's really important. If it's really important, I put an asterisk next to it, just a few of those. But there's a lot of really important information about what's really happening. And I love this little picture at the very bottom. It says, follow the science. And it's got this big giant who's politics, who's got behind him on a chain this a little bespeckled person who is the science, and then us in a chain behind them. So who's following the science, and why are we following the science? I think it's really important to understand what is it that's really behind all these things. So please avail yourself of the resources. I know it's a lot, but I'm happy to do it for you. All right, so let's have our closing prayer. It's really time to end. We say compassion. Y'all know what it is. Madeline, you coming? All right, good. So let's say it together. I think y'all know it. You can unmute. Please unmute if you'd like. We have a nice harmonious cacophony here. Okay, let's go. Ready? Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Compassion
circles the earth
for all beings everywhere.
Compassion encircles the earth
for all beings everywhere.
Much love to you all. Thanks again. If you have any questions, send me an email. We'd love to stay in touch and keep sharing the wisdom and your love. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the first Thursday of June. We'll have our regular event with the meditation and the third Thursday again. And if
thank
you know anyone
you,
who'd like to join
Will
us,
and Madeline.
All right, much love to you all.
Thank you
all. Thanks, much love. Thank you.
Bye.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye.